The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
What's up, everybody? I'm Najee Adams.
And I'm Hunter Jacobs.
And you're listening to the Hoop Ball Nets podcast. We're back. It is the eve of NBA action. So we're recording this, Monday night? So by the time you hear this, it'll be either Tuesday morning or Monday night, depending on when Dan decides to post it. Before we get into that, we have a lot to talk about today. Basically, we're going to go over the Nets and their re-signing of Taurean Prince. Briefly go over their final three preseason games. Talk about, basically give a regular season, broad NBA season preview, and then really drill into the Nets season preview and get all of that done on this podcast. But before we get into that, let me get through the intro. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can look us up by searching Hoopball Nets or Brooklyn Nets. Either way we come up, just hit that nice little subscribe button and leave a 5-star rating and review. All reviews are getting read on the podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at HoopBallNets. We love to hear you guys' feedback, criticism, anything you want to say to us on Twitter. Make sure you tweet it at us, questions, anything like that. Shout out to Winehouse Corner Coffee Company for sponsoring this podcast and every other HoopBall podcast. You can find them on Twitter at HIKONA Coffee, High Corner Coffee. Make sure you look their products up on Amazon. Leave a nice little review on their products as well. Let them know Hoopball Nets sent you. And shout out to Dash Radio, who I think I shouted out about 2 episodes ago, but we are now on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net station. If you guys want to download that, you can go to the App Store, look up Dash Radio, download that, listen to their Nothing But Net station. We're going to be periodically on that. They're going to be replaying our episodes, so make sure you guys go check that out. And boom, here we are. So, the Nets, they have re-signed Taurean Prince to a 2-year, $29 million contract.
Well-deserved.
I also believe it's well-deserved, to be completely honest. It's funny because he was originally acquired in a deal to free up cap space. If you remember, we used to have Alan Crabb on the team.
I knew when we did that deal that we fleeced the Hawks.
Oh, for sure.
Prince and giving away that contract, I don't know why the Hawks agreed to it.
I mean, because I feel like the Nets knew that they were landing at least one of Kyrie or KD. So they knew that they had some championship expectations, and the Hawks had the exact opposite of that. So I guess they figured, you know what? We'll take Allen Crabbe for you.
And also, I guess the Hawks had to free up that position so they can get Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter some minutes.
Yeah, and they also didn't want to extend Taurean Prince, which is obviously ironic because the Nets ended up extending him. And they had to do that before 6 p.m. today, which is Monday, or he would have became a restricted free agent this summer. A lot of players got extensions today.
Yeah, fun fact, non-related Nets news, the extension Jaylen Brown got was the first time Danny Ainge has extended a rookie contract player since Rondo in 2009.
Who's better, Jaylen Brown or Caris LeVert? I think we all know the answer is Caris LeVert.
He just has had more opportunity, but
he's not a better. You don't think he's a better player?
This season will determine who is the better player. They're both on even playing ground now in a similar situation.
I agree. But, yeah, so a lot of players, not just Jaylen Brown and Taurean Prince, DeJounte Murray got one. He also signed a sneaker deal today, so he bought in a bag today.
Yeah, he also – his contract is a steal, in my opinion, because of his defensive prowess. 4 years, $64 million for a starting guard that plays great defense is a pretty good steal.
And he gets a lot of rebounds. I don't know if you remember, but he used to have games that would be like 10 points, 12 rebounds. 8 points, 16 rebounds. Like,
he's a good all-around guard. If his jumper gets smoother, he can be a very good player.
And Domantas Sabonis. My man Domantas Sabonis.
Do you believe that means they trade Miles Turner? Or do you believe they'll
play I think they'll play them together. I think they know that Miles Turner is probably the best defensive one of the best defensive big men in the league. Up and coming. He just needs to work on his offensive game, his finesse. But I think that they view Miles Turner as a big part of their future plans. I think they'll try and make them coexist. And then, obviously, the Buddy Hield one, which has been in the news for days. Him and
I like it. Buddy Hield's a good player. The only thing I don't know is how they'll be able to re-sign Fox and Bagley along with that. Because if I was them, I would have prioritized Fox and Bagley.
Really?
But if they have no way to afford all three, then so be it.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing is, out of all the players we just named, Taurean Prince is the best one.
I'm just not going to answer that.
So, yeah, Taurean Prince, he got the 2-year, $29 million contract extension. And it was well-deserved, like Hunter said. This preseason, he averaged a team-high 16.8 points, 3.3 rebounds, 1.3 assists. In only 22.4 minutes, he shot a hyper-efficient 63.2% from the field and another team-high 69.6% from beyond the arc.
So that is unsustainable.
Giving Joe Harris a run for his money.
But I have said before, and I do believe Taurean Prince is an upgraded Damari Carroll in terms of his ability to shoot the ball.
I have high hopes.
I think he will make the Nets a much better team than people think without KD.
Oh, yeah. I think I don't see the problem is, and we'll get to it later, they're going to play him out of position. Taurean Prince is not a four. So I think he's going to get abused on the defensive side of things, which could hinder his play. Yeah, depending on the team. But if they're playing a traditional 6'9", 6'10", power forward.
If they play the Pistons.
If they play the Pistons, it's cooking easy. Blake Griffin is going to destroy that young man. But
that may be the one game you start Jared Allen and DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's going to be tough. The Nets are not – they don't have a set power forward, a traditional power forward, which is probably one of their biggest weaknesses. But let's get into the preseason games. Just really quick, their preseason game 1.5, I guess, because they did play overseas. No, they did play that overseas team, so that counts.
With the center cook them with 8 3 pointers.
I cannot remember his name for the life of me. But they played that team, and DeAndre Jordan was getting fried on pick and pops. And so that counted as preseason game 1. So we're going to say this is preseason game 2, I guess. They played the Lakers. They, in China, they won 114 to 111. And they actually lost Karis and Kyrie 5 minutes into that game.
It wasn't a promising sight.
It wasn't. Because Kyrie got elbowed by Rondo in the face. And Kenny Atkinson was like, yeah, you're not playing anymore. And then Karis went down a couple minutes later. Somehow the Nets still pulled out the win over the Lakers, 114 to 111.
Game Rondo frustrates me.
Why?
He is simply a dirty player.
I mean, I don't think it was on purpose, but
I'm aware the play wasn't on purpose. It's just his style of play. Like that incident with Chris Paul, if you remember so clearly.
When he spit on him?
Yes.
That is so disrespectful. That's like top five most disrespectful things you can do. So, yeah, I see how Rondo, I think Rondo has a rightful reputation as a dirty player. Like, I don't think it's something that was just placed on him unrightfully. Like, he does.
It's gotten worse. it's gotten worse over the years. Because in Boston, he didn't really have that.
He tries to do a lot of slick stuff and then get away with it. But a lot of the time, he gets caught. But the Nets' next preseason game was yet again against the Lakers in China. They yet again won 91-77, basically blew them out. They had a 19-point lead.
They're not good, as you can tell.
Okay, yes, yes, yes. It's preseason. Let's not forget that. The Nets had a 19-point lead. There was only 6 lead changes. The Nets shot 45.8% from the field while the Lakers shot 33.7. The Nets shot 37.1% from 3 while the Lakers were 5 of 32 from the 3-point line.
Oh, God.
What?
We're looking at all the bright spots, right?
Yeah.
The Nets turned the ball over 26 times.
They did.
That was the biggest problem before last season, if you remember correctly.
I remember recapping the preseason games, and their turnovers were like 25, 24, 22, 21. Like,
who had turnovers in this game?
Let's go
I need to see who we blame this on.
The box score, go over to Brooklyn, turnovers. So, Karis.
Oh, boy.
Karis had 4, David and Waba had 4, Rodions Kurucs had 4, Torian Prince had 3, Henry Ellenson in 5 minutes.
I would like to know.
He managed to get 2.
Go 0 of 2 from the free throw line and have 2 turnovers and a foul.
That's why he only played 5.
Jack Dudley stat line.
All right, what we're not going to do is clown my man Jared Dudley because he went out on top as a Net. Top 5 greatest Nets of all time.
You remember recapping those games? Those are the stat lines. Hey, respect the man. He's a great clubhouse presence and fights for his mans, but...
I mean, you're right, and that's why he cemented his legacy as a top 5 Net of all time. Jared Allen, 2 turnovers... And then Theo Pinson had 2, DeAndre Jordan had 1, and basically everyone on the team, not named, a whole bunch of people that are not going to play in the regular season.
The only person that played minutes that didn't turn the ball over is Nick Claxton, exactly. 3-2.
Exactly. So basically every Net that will play in the regular season had a turnover. So there you go. Breaking down the box score more thoroughly, Karis... His best game of the preseason, 22 minutes, 22 points, 8 of 11 from the field, 3 of 5 from beyond the arc, 5 assists, 3 steals, 4 rebounds. Great game from Karis outside of the turnovers.
Then moving on to the next game.
Outside.
Nobody else had a good performance, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I mean, Torian Prince played pretty well. 21 minutes, 14 points, 5 of 9 from the field.
He's been super efficient.
And then, yeah, Jared Allen played 20 minutes. DeAndre Jordan played 19 minutes.
They were dreadful.
Yeah, Spencer Dinwiddie was 1 of 5, so that's not great to see.
Joe Harris was 1 of 6.
Yeah, old reliable got to pick it up. Jared Allen, like I said, 20 minutes. DeAndre Jordan, 19 minutes.
If Torian Prince keeps this up, do we switch the nickname of old reliable over to him?
I mean, he's not going to shoot 70% from the 3-point line.
But if he's beating Joe Harris,
then we can't just switch a nickname. He's going to develop his own nickname. We got to give him his own nickname. You can be reliable and still not be the best shooter on the team. Torian Prince is going to get his own nickname all throughout the season. But yes, let's move on from that game. Not much to see there. The Nets then went to preseason game 3, their last preseason game of the preseason, and they lost to the Raptors 123-107. They went 3-1 this preseason. It was their home opener on their new court. And the Raptors.
Do you like the new court?
I do. I like the gray. I like the little Brooklyn along the sideline and everything like that. I think the new court looks
fan. I would like to see them wear the graffiti jerseys on the new court.
I would like to see the new court in person.
Me too. Like, who wouldn't?
And then, so yeah, the Raptors were basically they destroyed the Nets the whole game. They were up 21 at half. The Nets were fatigued because they were coming back from China. And so just going to go over that game real quick. The Raptors, they're the Raptors. They're the defending champions, even though they don't have Kawhi. They scored
36 points in the second quarter.
And their biggest lead was 22.
They shot 51.1% from three and made 24 of them.
Yeah, that was the Nets' biggest downfall. Their perimeter defense, to be completely honest. On the bright side, though, they did only have 14 turnovers.
Yes.
They did get out-rebounded, though, which I don't think you that can't happen with DeAndre Jordan and Jared Allen. You cannot get out-rebounded.
Offensive rebounded, but they're not going to out-rebound a team when the other team's shooting so much better than them. True. So.
Looking at the box score, Joe Harris went 2 of 5. He didn't have a great game yet again. He was 0 of 3 from the 3-point line. Torian Prince.
Dinwiddie, 13 on 3 of 14 shooting.
Yeah,
minus 16 plus minus.
Not his. He didn't have a great season whatsoever, a great preseason whatsoever, but he'll turn it around come the regular season. I know he will.
I'm confident. I have him in all fantasy leagues, if we're being honest.
I have I don't have Kyrie. Yes, I do. I have Kyrie in both fantasy leagues that I'm in. So I am placing a lot into Mr. Irving. Torian Prince, 20 minutes, 13 points. Continued his hyper-efficient preseason. Jared Allen played 18 minutes. DeAndre Jordan played 20 minutes. In Jared Allen's 18 minutes, he had 12 points and 7 rebounds. And DeAndre Jordan's 20 minutes, he had 5 points and 9 rebounds. So there's that.
I believe they're going to be the type of players that combine for 20 and 15 on every single night. Like, one of them is going to score 12 and the other scores 5, but they both get around 8 or 9 rebounds.
Yeah, I just hope that they complement each other. Like, they can play, even when they're not playing together, they're playing together, if that makes sense. They're not doing the same thing. Like, I need them to match each other's weaknesses, if that makes sense. Neither
can shoot.
Exactly. So. That's the problem, which is why we need to develop Nicholas Claxton. I think he's going to be nice.
He can shoot, indeed.
This was Kyrie's first, not full game, but first game without getting injured within 1 minute for the Nets. He had 19 points on 7 of 17 shooting. He played 24 minutes, went 2 of 5 from 3. 4 assists. He did have 4 turnovers and 3 rebounds. But this was Kyrie's first NBA action in a good little while, so he's got to knock the rust off. He'll be fine. And then David Nwaba, 22 minutes. I feel like he could be the Jared Dudley this year. Like, the guy that gets a lot of minutes but shouldn't get that many minutes. It's not even because I don't like David Nwaba, but in every single preseason game, he's gotten a good amount of minutes.
Look, I believe the starting five from this game is going to start. But I do think that Kurucs, Jordan, and Dinwiddie are going to be the next three, obviously. It depends how deep they go into the bench for Nwaba to play.
True.
Because he will be the 9th or 10th man, depending on who they have higher, him or Garrett Temple.
So, yeah, this just wasn't a great showing for the Nets. But it was great to see Kyrie out there in a Nets uniform getting buckets the best he could. The Nets season starts on Wednesday. In approximately 2 days, they play at home versus the Timberwolves.
Not going to lie, not the flashiest opponent. I wish they'd have a tougher game. But
bold prediction, I think they're going to win. do you think they win or lose?
They're going to win.
I think they're going to win as well. Get that first game.
If they should win.
Get that first game under their belt. Get that first win under their belt against a subpar opponent. So let's get into the season preview. So basically, this is exactly what it sounds like, a NBA season preview. We're not going to go over every team, obviously, but we're basically going to give our predictions for the awards. We'll start with NBA champion. Who do you think the 2019-2020 NBA champions are going
to
be?
All right, so just so everyone knows, Najee doesn't have to give his answer. He's going to say the Lakers. He's biased. He's going to say they're going to win in four games regardless of the opponent they play. So disregard his answer. If you want a real answer, listen to this. So the champion is going to be the Clippers. Do you want to know why? Because their lineup contains Patrick Beverley, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard, three of the, I'll say, 10 best defensive players in basketball, maybe top five best defensive players in basketball. And then you have Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell to boost their offense with great role players surrounding them and a sharpshooter and Landry Shamet. Their roster is complete and all complements each other. The Lakers decided to throw a whole bunch of random pieces around LeBron and AD, if we're being honest. The Clippers is just a better formatted team that will win regardless of the East opponent, which will likely be the Sixers, by the way. But regardless of who it is, the Clippers are going to win the NBA championship.
Are you done?
Yes.
Are you done spouting BS? Because the Lakers are indeed going to be NBA champions. And I know this is a Nets podcast, and I know all of you listening probably do not want to hear that. And if the Nets get KD back, I'll say this. If the Nets get KD back, then sure, I think they have a good shot at winning the NBA championship. But until then, I'm going to go ahead and say the Lakers are your 2019-2020 NBA champions because, let's just say this, they have LeBron James, the best player in the NBA. They have Anthony. Who played in
the playoffs last year?
I let you finish, didn't I? All right, then. They have LeBron James, the best player in the NBA. They have Anthony Davis, top five player in the NBA, might even be number two. Who knows? So when they're running a pick and roll between LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who's guarding that? Because I don't know a team in the league that can. You want to double LeBron? Oh, that means Anthony Davis is wide open. You want to double Anthony Davis? That means the best player in the world is wide open. And then if you're going to force LeBron to drive to the basket and close in on the basket. Oh, kick out Danny Green, knock down shooter. Kick out Quinn Cook, knock down shooter. Oh, don't forget we got Dwight Howard. And say what you want about Dwight Howard. He is going to have a revenge season. This season is the Lakers' revenge season. But let me stop talking about the Lakers before everyone.
You are a clown.
No, my friend, you're the clown.
No, you are.
Let me stop talking about the Lakers before everyone here for the Nets clicks off. But yes, I believe the Lakers are the NBA championships, barring injury and KD returning.
Same thing for the Clippers, obviously, barring injury.
Okay, so let's move on. Sixth man of the year.
Okay. So I'd love to say Spencer Dinwiddie. And I really would like to see him be Dinwiddie, but I don't know that they'll give it to him. It'll likely return right to Lou Williams again, because he'll probably average 20 points again.
I mean, do you think that... What were you going to say? You'll say what?
Because Paul George is out for 10 games, and then Kawhi's going to rest 20 games, Lou Will is going to get a great amount of work. You'll think because of that team that he's not, right? All those games that Paul George and Kawhi sit, who's the second option? Always him.
I could easily – he's probably the front runner for sixth man of the year. He very well could be the front runner for sixth man of the year. But if I had to choose, I would either go with Spencer Dinwiddie or Fred VanVleet. If Fred VanVleet doesn't start for the Raptors. If he does, then I think it's Spencer Dinwiddie. I think that voters' fatigue is going to kick in. Just how, like, we don't give LeBron MVP anymore, even though he averages 27, 7, and 8 every single year. We're going to get tired of giving Lou Will Sixth Man of the Year awards. And I think Spencer Dinwiddie, who wasn't even nominated last season, I think he wins his first Sixth Man of the Year. It has to happen.
My underdog is J.J. Redick.
J.J. Redick?
Yes.
Why J.J. Redick?
Because he averaged 18 points as a fifth option on the Sixers last season. So him on a Pelicans team coming off the bench, who really is not an experienced team, they'll look to him to get buckets. That is my dark horse, but I believe the race is really between Dinwiddie and Lou Will.
So let's move on to Rookie of the Year. I think that had Zion not got injured, I think it would have been an easy runaway Zion Williamson Rookie of the Year. I still think Zion Williamson. You weren't gonna pick him?
No.
Once again, you, my friend, are a clown. Because I still think that even with his injury, he comes back in December. I still think he wins Rookie of the Year.
Think with him playing 50 games that he wins Rookie of the Year?
If they're some of the most electric 50 games NBA fans have ever seen, yes.
So think about this. Joel Embiid.
Okay.
Do you remember Joel Embiid's rookie season?
How many games did he play?
I believe he played not a lot.
great.
But to be exact, Malcolm Brogdon won Rookie of the Year with not nearly Rookie of the Year numbers. Do you know why? Because he played a full season.
Let me see. How many games did Joel Embiid play his rookie year? Joel Embiid stats. That's all you got to look up. Joel Embiid, Basketball Reference. What a sight. His rookie year, Joel Embiid played 31 games. He only played 31 games.
So that those 30 games that he misses up to Christmas, right? And then he's going to miss 5 to 7 more with load management and rest from his injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
35 games. He's down to 45 to 47 games.
In 50 games, I think he can win Rookie of the Year. I still think Zion wins Rookie of the Year. If I didn't have to pick Zion, I would say Ja Morant.
It's a no-brainer that it's between Ja Morant and RJ Barrett, and Ja Morant is going to win.
You know, a dark horse?
It's Tyler Hero.
Nickeil Alexander Walker.
For me, it's Tyler Hero as the dark horse.
I think he's been eating this preseason.
Both of them have, Hero and Walker.
But yes, my pick is Zion Williamson.
And mine is Ja Morant.
So number one and number two. How original. What's next? Most improved. Most improved. Wait, let's go with most improved. Bury the MVP for last. Most improved. You can go first.
Terry Rozier.
You little clown. Why Terry Rozier?
I'm a Celtics fan. I've watched Terry Rozier all this time. Playoffs, when it was him as the lead guard, he had a great playoffs. He led us to the conference finals. We almost went to the finals. He can be a lead guard. Are the Hornets going to win 20 games? No. Are they going to win 15 games? Probably not. But regardless, he will average.
You don't think the Hornets win 15 games?
He will average 20 points. He will average 6 assists. He will average a steal. He will win most improved player. There's no doubt in my mind.
Okay. I'm torn. I think that most improved players is open as it's ever been. I think there's a lot of guys that can win it. To name a few, Mitchell Robinson. Even people like Marvin Bagley, De'Aaron Fox. our man, Thomas Bryant. But if I had to pick, it would be between Bam Adebayo, Caris LeVert, and Buddy Hield.
I believe you are a fool with Buddy Hield.
Why?
Buddy Hield had a great season last year. How much better do you want him to get?
I think he can average like 24 points per game.
Look at what he had last year.
Okay, let's see. Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield last year averaged 20. He only averaged 20.7.
He averaged 21.5.
Okay.
You think he's going to have that much of a jump that it outweighs anybody like Rozier and Adebayo?
If the Kings are, let's say, a 6-7 seed and Buddy Hield is averaging 24-5? Yes.
No.
I think he can. I didn't even pick him for my man, but I'm going to defend him. And my other two, Caris is a no-brainer. With KD being out, he's going to be asked to take that next step and be that secondary scorer in the starting lineup. So, Caris, and then Bam Adebayo.
I don't think he'll put up good enough stats because of the presence of other people like Dinwiddie, Harris, Prince, Allen, DeAndre, all of them.
I mean, it's basically the same team. Just replace D'Lo with Kyrie and Caris.
He will take more shots. So
not he won't take shots. He won't take that many more shots.
Score more points.
Okay, who cares? If it's the same amount of if he's more efficient, then that's better for the Nets. That's better for Caris LeVert. He can put up 22, 23 points per game.
That's asking a lot. I don't know about that one.
And then
give him like a 19 point cap.
And then lastly, I have Bam Adebayo with Hassan Whiteside gone, Jimmy Butler there. He's basically the Kelly Olynyk might eat into his minutes a little, but Bam Adebayo's their guy, and I think that
they want him to be like a point center in a sense.
Yeah,
they want him playing high post, facilitating the offense, running a Jokic like offense.
Yeah, I think that he's going to be pretty good, to be honest. But if I had to pick one, I'm going to go with Caris. I'm going to be a homer. I'm going to go with Caris. I owe these Nets fans something for talking about the Lakers for 5 minutes. So Caris LeVert is most improved player. And last but not least, most valuable player, MVP. Who is it? I'm going to say it's Anthony Davis.
Of course you would. He has no shot at it, for the record.
What?
All right, let's continue. I would love to say Steph Curry, but the team is not going to be good enough for him to win that award. Giannis will repeat.
I think there's no shot Giannis repeats. I think Anthony Davis wins MVP. If the Lakers do what I think they're going to do, I think Anthony Davis averages some historic numbers and he wins MVP. Now, with that out of the way, let's dive into the Nets season preview. Got a whole bunch of questions here. Hunter and I are going to answer them to the best of our ability. Make sure you guys do your part and tweet at us your answers to these questions so we can get your feedback. So, start it out simple. What do you think the Nets starting lineup on a nightly basis is going to be?
What they started in the last game of the preseason.
Which was Kyrie at the one, Joe Harris at the 2, Caris at the 3, Torian Prince at the 4, and Jared Allen at the 5.
I believe it's Caris at the 2 and Joe Harris at the 3, but
okay, yes. Semantics. Either way, one of them, they're both going to be in the starting lineup. I think it's going to be – that's probably the best starting lineup they can muster without KD, so yes.
That's the lineup I would have personally. That's the lineup I believe they'll have.
Me too, and then they're going to have – Spencer Dinwiddie come off the bench with DeAndre Jordan, probably run a whole lot of pick and rolls. And
if I was the coach personally, I would keep Torian Prince in position and let Kurucs run a position he ran last year and put Kurucs in the starting lineup at the 4 and bring Joe Harris off the bench with Dinwiddie and Jordan.
But that's you got to think they might not have Kurucs with his trial impending. And so this is probably their best bet as of right now. And then when they get Wilson Chandler back, he'll be mixed into things. I think off the bench, though, they're going to have Dinwiddie and Waba, Kurucs, Didn't we?
They're not on a perfect 10-man rotation.
No, they're not. But like, they're the people that are going to play the most minutes off the bench are going to be Dinwiddie and Wabu Kurucs and DeAndre Jordan.
Garrett Temple may play similar minutes to Nwaba.
Yeah, maybe that's going to be the guy that plays too many minutes. I hope Jana Musa gets more of an opportunity this year because he had a pretty good preseason. Next question. Does Kyrie Irving play more than 60 games?
If I had to call it now, he plays 66.
Looking at his career, he's played 60 games, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 times.
Played 59 once.
So, yeah, I'm going to say he does play the 60 games because I think that they're going to need him to play more than 60 games.
I'm going with 66.
I'm not going to give a number. Psych, yes, I am. I'm going to go with 72. He gets 10 games off. I think he plays 72 games. He does play 60 games because the Nets are going to need him to play 60 games in order for them to live up to expectations. On to the next one. Who is the Nets' breakout player? I think we probably have the same answer.
Let's move on.
What? Who? Taurean Prince. Obviously. I have high hopes for Taurean Prince. He low-key might even be in the most improved player talk. But we'll
see.
That's
a lot. That is not true, but he's going to be good. So, move on.
Who ends up being... See, when I was writing this one, who ends up being the more effective player? Who ends up playing more minutes? DeAndre Jordan or Jared Allen? Because they can be two different things.
Okay, so... I believe that they will actually play a perfect split. And that Jared Allen will have a slight... edge on effectiveness.
I think that Kenny, one of the irritating parts of this season is gonna be Kenny Atkinson switching Jared Allen and DeAndre Jordan in and out of the lineup. I think that Jared Allen will be the more effective one, but I can see him playing DeAndre Jordan more minutes if the Nets get into situations where they need wins now. Because he's a veteran and he knows his way around the court better than Jared Allen. So that's going to be tough, but I think Jared Allen's the better player. Simple as that.
All right, next four questions, speed questions. Let's go.
Do the Nets make the playoffs?
Yes.
I think they make the playoffs too. Does Kevin Durant play this season?
He can, but no.
I think he plays this season.
I believe they're going to be cautious, send him out. No.
I think he comes back in April.
And I would like him to come back. I don't think he will, though.
I think he comes back in April, and he plays the last 2 months of the season into the playoffs. What seed are the Nets, and what is their final record? We've given, like, 18 final record predictions for the Nets, but this is the one that counts. I think...
6 seed, 49, and 33.
You think they're the 6th seed with almost 50 wins?
5th seed. Fifth seed, 49 and 33. Fifth seed.
I'm going to say they are the 4 seed because the Bucks, Celtics, 76ers are really the only people I can see being better than them. Maybe the Heat, but not likely. And I say they go 52. No, they're not winning 50 games. I say they go 45 and whatever 82 minus 45 is. 45
and 37.
45 and 37 is what I think the Nets record is. And I said 45 and 37. So, is Kyrie Irving an all-star this year?
Yes.
Do you think he starts?
Yes, he's going to get the vote.
I don't know if he'll start, but I think he'll be an all-star. I think he'll be an all-star. What is the Nets' biggest weakness?
A shooting big man.
I think it's their lack of length.
Not, I believe it's a shooting big man.
Not having a stretch four, which is something we've talked about multiple times, is something that they should probably invest in. And I think that's one of their big weaknesses. But length, and having Taurean Prince and Rodion Kurucs be your primary power forwards, is a problem. What is their biggest strength?
Guard play.
I think their biggest strength is their depth. They're almost 10 deep, 11 deep. Especially when Wilson Chandler comes back, they're super deep. So I think that's going to lend to them winning a lot of games.
Their guard play will take them above most teams.
Does Joe Harris win the three-point contest again?
No, most people don't repeat. I don't think he will. I think he'll play in it again, and he may make the finals. I don't think he'll win it again.
Will he lead the league in three-point percentage again?
No, but I think he'll shoot over 45%.
I was about to ask you the same thing. Does Spencer Dinwiddie get his sixth man of the year?
Consideration, yes, he gets nomination. I don't think that he will win it.
How many buzzer beater wins and losses do you think the Nets have this season? If you had to put a number on it.
Buzzer beater wins 4, losses 1.
You think they lose only once to a buzzer beater?
Yep.
I'm going to go with wins 2, losses 2. I think they go even 2-2.
Yeah, if Kyrie, I don't know about 2.
I mean, there's, you know, many other clutch players in the league there are. You could say that about the best player on every team.
No way. Most teams don't even have one clutch person.
What are you saying? All right, so the Wizards can't say we have Bradley Beal.
What are his all-time clutch stats?
I mean, I can't tell you that off the top of the dome.
It won't work for Paul George, I'll tell you that.
It'll work for Kawhi. It'll work for Harden. It'll work for Harden in the regular season. So these are the two most important ones for me. What is the worst case scenario for the Nets this season?
Kyrie Irving gets hurt in this playoffs.
I think that is obviously worst case. Kyrie Irving suffers a long-term injury that keeps him out for the majority of the season, and the Nets miss the playoffs. Is worst case scenario for the Nets, obviously. Also, I think Caris LeVert not taking some sort of jump would be a bad, not a great situation for the Nets. And then, last but not least, what is the best case scenario for the Nets this season?
Kevin Durant returns on March 1st, like we said that he could, and the Nets win the NBA championship.
Yes, I think that their best case scenario is Kevin Durant returns, plays like 20 minutes a night, 15 minutes a night, until he's back to full speed for the playoffs. They make a big run, face the Clippers or the Lakers in the finals, and it's KD versus LeBron or KD versus Kawhi. And the Nets come out on top. I think also what goes into that, Caris LeVert takes a big step. Torian Prince takes a big step. Jared Allen comes into his own. A lot of things have to happen for the Nets to win the chip. But if they all do happen, that would be their best case scenario, obviously. And with that, that's going to end this episode. I hope y'all enjoyed it. Our little Nets season preview, NBA season preview. The Nets come back on Wednesday. We're going to get back to the game recap episodes after, I think, like every 2 games. We're going to be back. We're going to be back, and you're going to listen to us. So make sure you guys subscribe to the Hoopball Nets podcast on iTunes. You can find us at Hoopball Nets on Twitter as well. Leave a 5-star rating and review on the podcast. All reviews are getting read on the podcast. Make sure you tweet at us, once again, at Hoopball Nets, so that you can give us your feedback, criticism, anything. Answer the questions that we asked. Just let us know. We love to hear from y'all. Shout out to Winehouse Kona Coffee Company for sponsoring this podcast and every other Hoopball podcast. You can find them at High Kona Coffee. That's Kona with a K on Twitter. And their products are mainly on Amazon. And then, once again, Dash Radio. Listen, download the app, listen to the Nothing But Net channel or station on the app, and 9 times out of 10, you might hear our voice. So, yes, that'll do it for this episode. Nets basketball is back. We'll see y'all next time.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.